You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
With psilocybin set to be more available for those with treatment-resistant depression, comes the question of accessibility. Currently, only one specialist will be able to provide psilocybin to patients, with concerns over how much the treatment will cost. I spoke to Suresh Muthukumaraswamy, a professor in the School of Pharmacy at the University of Auckland, about psilocybin and what should be expected with allowing psilocybin to treat treatment-resistant depression. What is psilocybin and what will it be used for?
Yes, psilocybin is a psychedelic drug, as you say. It's found in magic mushrooms, and it works similarly in the brain to LSD. So people have hallucinatory experiences or psychedelic experiences when they take it. Originally, these compounds in the 1950s and 60s were studied for their medicinal use, and that fell out of favor for about 50, 60 years, and more recently there's been a lot of research work using it. In this particular instance that it's been approved for, treatment-resistant depression.
And how does psilocybin improve mental health outcomes for those suffering from depression?
Yeah, so the role that it improves mental health outcomes is, to be honest, not entirely clear. There are a couple of theories. One is that these psychedelic drugs, they seem to increase what's called neuroplasticity in the brain, so they seem to promote brain cells growing new connections with each other, so that might be one underlying biological explanation. But it's important to remember that the psilocybin is always prescribed in conjunction with psychotherapy, and so the other explanation might be that people have these quite profound experiences and that with a psychologist afterwards they're able to kind of unwrap this and make meaning of it and sense in their lives and use that for some beneficial effect.
Now, psilocybin will still remain as an unapproved medicine. What does this mean?
Most medicines, when they become approved medicines, they are basically approved for a particular indication based on clinical trial data, and a company has essentially sought marketing approval for or regulatory approval for them in New Zealand, so that's not what's going to be happening in this instance. So clinicians can already import other medicines for that aren't approved medicines. It's called the Section 29 pathway, so they can already do this for drugs that aren't available in New Zealand for various things. In this case, because it's a controlled substance, there's an extra step that's involved. And because it's a controlled substance, ministerial consent needs to be given for the clinician, in this case, to prescribe psilocybin.
Under what is being proposed, only one highly experienced psychiatrist, Professor Cameron Lacey in Christchurch, will be able to grant access to those wanting to use psilocybin. How will this work regarding accessing psilocybin, especially for those not based in Christchurch?
Well, so I think it's important to point out that this is just simply the first applicant who's been approved. There's nothing to stop other psychiatrist applicants to apply for it, and so we expect now that precedent is set that other psychiatrists will apply to be able to use it, so we should see, and it will take a bit of time, you know, but we should see in the coming year probably more prescribers being able to prescribe it.
And what about the cost? How much is psilocybin expected to set someone back?
Yeah, so the cost rather than number of prescribers is probably the biggest issue. So the drug itself isn't very cheap. You know, it's only, I don't want to give too much away, but it's like less than $1,000, easily less than this. So it's not that expensive. The expensive part is because, as I said, you have to wrap it in many hours of psychotherapy and as a psychiatrist has to prescribe it. So the total cost of treatment becomes maybe, in Australia where they're doing this, the estimates are around $20,000 to $30,000. Maybe we can do it more cheaply here, but still it's a lot. And so then the real question is, who's going to pay for this therapy? And at the moment, it looks like people will have to pay out of pocket.
And how could this be more accessible to the average person who wants to try out using psilocybin?
Well, I would say that this isn't designed for the average person. This is for a person who has treatment-resistant depression. So it's very specific to people who have that medical indication. So, you know, if they meet the right criteria that's in the kind of protocol that's been submitted to MedSafe, then they might be able to access. But like I say, cost is the big issue.
Will these accessibility boundaries not result in people potentially even attempting to access psilocybin illegally and in an unregulated form?
Yeah, and that's a really big concern. So because, you know, there will only be limited access to begin with and obviously cost to an issue, so then people might move to self-medicate. But that's potentially risky. you know, psilocybin for a healthy person to take and just go on a kind of recreational / lifestyle trip, it's reasonably safe. But if people try to self-medicate and try to self-treat their own mental health, that can work out well, but it can actually work out really terribly for some people as well. And so having it in the controlled clinical environment reduces a lot of those kind of risks. So that's quite concerning that might happen. So that is why, you know, as well as simply providing the regulatory system to get access, that we need to actually make it more accessible practically for people.
What does a move like this mean for the future of using, I guess, to a lot of people, maybe unorthodox medicines to better treat mental health outcomes?
Well, you know, what I would say is that psilocybin, although it's an unapproved medicine at the moment, there's actually quite a few clinical trials on it showing both safety and a reasonable amount of efficacy. So it's not like, you know, tinfoil hat stuff that we're talking about here. There is, you know, quite a number of clinical trials to support this as a reasonable approach. So, you know, so I don't think it opens the gateway for anything. And, you know, and MedSafe approved it, and I presume being aware of those studies that had existed, and that also Australia has entered into a similar scheme. So I think that, yeah, that has to be borne in mind, that it is a reasonably evidence-based treatment. Currently, psilocybin is classified in the Misuse of Drugs Act as a Class A substance, and the basis for that classification is that it is, and it says this in the Misuse of Drugs Act, that it's, there is a very high risk of harm. But obviously, if you're now saying, hey, well, actually, you can prescribe this with under the right circumstances, if it really was a drug that was of a very high risk of harm, you wouldn't be able to prescribe it medically, right? So there's clearly an inconsistency that this creates in our kind of ancient classification system. So I think the politicians won't want to address this, but really it does need to be thought of.
That was the University of Auckland's Suresh Muthukumaraswamy on using psilocybin to treat treatment-resistant depression.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.